Hi, and welcome to Northwest Book Talk on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Patty Grasher, where we connect readers with the authors and stories shaping our literary community. Today, I'm joined by Deb Miller. She's the author of Forget the Fairy Tale and Find Your Happiness. Deb is a 10-time award-winning author whose work has been featured on Como News, national radio, and programs across the country. With a background as a vice president of marketing and communications for Fortune 500 companies, she brings both powerful storytelling and real-world insight to her message of personal empowerment. Deb will be one of the featured authors at the upcoming Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest, where readers will have the chance to meet her in person, explore her book, and connect with her inspiring story. So today, we're talking about breaking free from outdated expectations and creating your own version of Happily Ever After, hopefully with selling more books, I think. So welcome, Deb, to the program.
Thanks, Patty, for having me. I can't wait to help you promote the Northwest Book Fair. And yes, I also am looking forward to going to Vancouver for the first time.
Oh, that's cool. Yes. So let's talk. Let's just jump right in and kind of talk about book marketing, if you don't mind. So with your book has really had great success with it. So what do you think are some of the ways and, means that you had some great luck in getting some, some people that really promoted your book, but what did you actually do to put your book on the road?
You know, because I have a marketing background and I actually teach marketing now for both my alma mater, Purdue University, and I also teach a course once a year at Washington State University. And I guess one innovative thing, thinking of WSU right out of the gate, they gave me 6 interns that helped me get started on social media. So they created some book trailers for me, did some library outreach. And so I guess the advice there would be start where you are and use what you have. So I had access to some students and they helped me. And my youngest daughter is a Gen Z. And she said to me, Mom, we got to get you onto TikTok. Well, I mean, Instagram and Facebook were even a stretch for me at the beginning. So TikTok just seemed like another world. But I said, well, what will we do? Will that sell books? And she said, it'll get new eyes on your book and it can only help. So I said, well, what will we do? And she said, let's do a home tour. There's something called 73 Questions with Vogue. And apparently celebrities like Taylor Swift will take the host on a tour of their home and answer a bunch of questions. I said, well, okay, I do have a pretty cool home. It's actually called the Cascade Treehouse. It's got glass all around it. And I said, all right, we'll do the book tour. So she flew in from Miami and we did the home tour, I should say. And it was so much fun. It ended up it's a minute long and it had 12,000 views after just like a day. So hopefully some of those people bought books. And then for my pub day, I belong to a pub here in Seattle because craft beer is very popular here, obviously, and in Portland and Vancouver too. And so I had pub day at the pub and I actually bought a beer for anybody that showed proof of purchase of the book. So that was very popular, gave a nice spike on sales on pub day. And then instead of just a traditional book reading, I had actresses perform a couple scenes from the book at a Barnes & Noble for my actual bookstore book launch, the first one. And that went over really, really well. And then I put together a couple panels on happiness, on the broader topic of happiness with some UW professors. And that turned out to be just a packed house with a lot of students, a lot of males, in addition to my classic audience for this book, which would be females. And so that was really fun. So just lots of different things, Patty.
So I'm excited. So let's go. We're kind of doing this topsy-turvy, but so now let's go into your book, okay? And let's start off with, forget the fairy tale. So let's start with, how did you come up with that idea that story of yours needed to be told?
Actually, that wasn't the original title of the book. After I took about a year and a half to write the book, it took about a year and a half to edit the book. I already had a publisher waiting for it, and my editor informed me right when we were done with that 3-year process that I needed to change the title of the book. And I could have killed her, because, you know, you just, at some point, you just can't even look at it anymore. And I was at that point. And so I thought about it long and hard one weekend. The original title I had was A Princess Path. And she thought that was way too narrow, and it sounded like something young children might like or whatever. And so that isn't at all a story of transformation, which was an inspiring tale, which is what mine is. So I came up with the current title, the permanent title, the Forget the Fairy Tale and Find Your Happiness. And that opened up a whole new world to me. It ended up being a fantastic move. It opened me up to this whole topic of happiness. And really, the academic side of me, the doctorate part of me, really dove into the study and the science of happiness and opened up a whole new world. So it turned out to be a good move.
Yes, that's kind of cool, because it's so often we have our mindset on one thing, and that's kind of what you bring out in the book itself, is that you started off, at least your married life, with these expectations of Prince Charming, okay? And then things kind of metamorphosed into that. It was almost Princess Charming, the one that had to be the person to, you know, to take the reins and go full speed ahead. So when did you start realizing that Prince Charming wasn't going to be the answer to your happy life?
Let's see. Probably my first husband. There were two Prince Charmings in my life and in the book. And when I realized that he wasn't going to be able to get myself and our kids to the happily ever after, at that point, I figured I had to get my own white horse and figure out how to get us there. Because that was the kind of, I wanted a better life for my children. And so that was probably, if I had to pick one moment, that was the turning point.
And then how did you come to put the idea of the book? I know that you said the title changed, but you start each chapter with kind of a little snippet of a fairy tale. When did you pull that into your book?
Well, I describe myself as the accidental author. I did not plan to write a book. Many people do this as a full-time career. That was not my thing. I was this corporate person, etc. Now retired, semi-retired, doing teaching as a college professor. But during the pandemic, you know how there's blizzard babies, like 9 months after a blizzard, there's a bunch of babies. Well, 5 years after, or 6 years after the pandemic, there's a lot of memoirs coming out. And so mine was one of those. It was during the pandemic. I was looking for something to do to kind of mark the time. I had just become a grandmother, and I had two really cool grandmothers, and I wanted to give my granddaughter more than just a box of photos like I had. I wanted to give her answers to decisions I made about my life. So while I was starting to put together all these different stories, what turned out to be a memoir, I needed a framework. It's like when you build a 1,000-piece puzzle, you want the edges, right? You need some sort of a framework. So I remembered when I was working on my dissertation, which was on the topic of corporate rebranding. And most of the articles, you have to read like 1,000 articles and then write a dissertation proving one thing that nobody else has ever thought of. Well, so as I'm reading these 1,000 articles on corporate rebranding, most of them were kind of boring, like on GMs and AT&Ts. And I remembered one that was about the Disney Princess franchise and how they had to transform and rebrand their franchise and evolve those damsels in distress to catch up with modern times. So they had to move from the Snow Whites and Cinderellas to those Renaissance princesses like Belle and Ariel, who still needed a prince to save the day. And then eventually to the Moanas and Meridas, who, like many young women of today, they're warrior princesses who dream of endless possibilities and who know that true happiness comes from charting their own path. And so there's actually a scene in the book where my youngest daughter reminds me that she's in charge of her own happiness, and she credits me for teaching her that. that I was like a role model to her in this department, but I had never realized it until then. And so kind of that was an epiphany for me, like, oh my gosh, my daughter thinks that I am this warrior princess, and I never even saw myself like that. But that scene from the book was actually a winner of the International Memoir Association's annual memoir showcase, and the reward was that they had an actress perform the scene for about 500 people in San Diego last November. And for me, seeing that performance was like a highlight of my book journey, to go from page to stage. And that clip is actually on my website at forgettheferrytale.net. And I show it to book clubs sometimes when I'm doing those. It's fun.
Appreciation break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk and see if we can get some points for people who are on the beginning stages of marketing their books, what they can do that is not so high-powered outreach, perhaps. Just, you know, like you said, start where you're at. So we'll be right back.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
中国人说我们的语言.
Furry Friends is a Vancouver, Washington 501c3 nonprofit, volunteer-run, no-kill cat rescue and adoption organization. If you would like to help save cats and kittens in the Vancouver-Portland area, there is a need for finances, goods, cat foster parents, volunteers, and adopters. Please visit their website for wish lists and other ways you can help at furryfriendswa.org. That's furryfriendswa.org.
Okay, and we're back, and I'm talking to Deb Miller. She's the author of Forget the Fairy Tale. And let's start with some marketing tips that you might give to people, new authors, to get their books better exposure.
Well, I think the key is, as we've talked about before, to start where you are and use what you have. By the way, that's a lot of people credit that quote to Arthur Ashe, but I think it was Teddy Roosevelt that came up with it, and I certainly believe in it wholeheartedly. So, for example, I mentioned I have academic ties, so I plugged into that. I'm also from my home state is Indiana, and now that I live in the Pacific Northwest and in Redmond near Seattle, but I'm from Indiana, so I had a Back Home Again in Indiana book tour last fall, and I tied in with professors from Indiana University while I was there, so kind of started where I was. I had academic connections and Indiana connections and pulled them together. I know other authors that, for example, one author wrote a book about whitewater rafting. It was a memoir as well. So she's been talking to different, like at REIs and going to rafting clubs, and so that's what she's been doing. Another wrote a book about sailing to Tahiti with her family when she was 14. And so she tied into yacht clubs. So again, it sort of depends. You need to align with your interests and find where your community is. And I think that, so it's going to be different for each author. And it should be fun. My whole point is to have fun with all this.
Yeah, I think fun is the big element to marketing your book, because we have one author that has some of these book events at local pubs, you know, and I just think that's a great way, you know, have a beer.
Yes.
and to connect with your author. And so do you have any tips? I'm thinking myself here, for somebody who's like really introverted and it's like, I can be okay on the radio where nobody's actually seeing me, but, you know, to actually to do a book event when you're at ease with it. Are there any little tips that you have found that maybe starting out and you built into a better performing book event kind of thing?
Well, Patty, you clearly are a conversationalist because you're asking the best questions and you're very easy to talk to. So it would maybe a good format would be to have an in conversation partner Or again, like I set up the happiness panels, that's kind of a three-way or four-way conversation. And I, you know, so you can be behind the scenes helping to organize. That's where the work is setting these things up. The actual showing up for the conversation is quite easy because you just stay true to yourself and give authentic answers. So I would make sure if I were you that I had in conversation partners, and they will bring out the best in you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, I can't really expand about that. So let's, what do you mean by conversational partners? You have two people at the booth and back and forth, or what?
Are we talking about at a bookstore, if you're having like an, if you're launching?
Yeah, I'm saying
book?
Like a bookstore.
Yes. Oh, that, well, yes.
Yeah.
I would find either one. What I have done, I've had, I don't even know how many now, at least 25 different bookstore events. And sometimes I do it on my own because I'm a professor, so I'm quite comfortable talking. But other times I just think it's more interesting to have the in-conversation partner. And you really don't have to prepare a whole lot for that other than lining them up. Like I had a women's studies professor when I was up at Western Washington University up in Bellingham at Village Books. And as I already mentioned, I had the two IU professors at two of my seven stops in Indiana. I had two UW professors here in Seattle. But again, you can also engage with other authors. Like I've also been on panels with other authors, and so we that had sort of some commonalities in our book titles. This weekend, I just came from Tahoe. I was at the Truckee Literary Crawl as a featured speaker. And we did some readings. So the readings actually, people, those work really well, especially like book clubs when they've read your book. So it sort of depends on the audience.
Before we run out of time, I want to make sure that we really get into your back into your book.
Yes.
Like I said, I've only had a chance to read half of it, and I'm loving the first half. But you just had dramatic life. I mean, that you were in Russia and you're working with a tennis team and all these things, and your life kind of unfolded in ways that you never expected, right? Because you didn't even start tennis until you were adult. So what do you think are some of the ways that all these kind of experiences changed you into becoming the person that you are today?
Well, I think the experience to see the world has been priceless. As a global VP, I got to go everywhere. It reminds me a bit like we just had the Artemis astronauts, you know, touchdown, and they had their unique chance to have a different perspective of the globe. Well, I feel like I've had that only down here on Earth. And the opportunity to see like the buried terracotta soldiers in a remote part of China, or paddle up stream in China in the Three Gorges area before that area disappeared, or the sensation of riding an elephant in India. And these are just adventures I got from my job that I'll never forget. But it's really the people that you meet from the various cultures that have had the most impact. And it changes your worldview. So that broader view, I think the best part is, it's been passed on to my kids. So, for example, my oldest daughter chose to do an internship in London during college, something she felt comfortable doing because I had taken her to Europe twice when she was younger. And then later, she returned to the UK and earned her MBA from Cambridge and met her future husband, who's a British citizen. And then similarly, my son chose to take Chinese courses when he was at Northwestern. And then he did a summer college internship in China. And years later, he recently married a wonderful woman who is the daughter of Chinese immigrants. So the whole family is a happy melting pot of various cultures. And I don't think any of that would have happened to a girl from small town in southern Indiana without a global career opening my eyes and opening the door to the world.
I want to go into that because we're talking about your book, and your life really is all about empowerment. And not everyone is going to have that chance to go out and travel, perhaps. I mean, there's always limitations or whatever. What do you think holds people back from empowering their life right where they're at, just in their own little small town in Indiana kind of thing, if they don't have a chance to go further out?
Yes, I was very fortunate to have the ability to do that and have a company pay for it, even better. But I think, to answer your question, I think too many people think that they need to follow society's script to reach happily ever after, however they define it. And really, it's up to you. It's up to that person. Your happiness is up to you. And I'm here to give people some ways to get started. So on my website, there's a choose happiness list with lots of ideas you can print and stick on the fridge to get going. There's playlists there for music to listen to and information about the science of happiness, such as 40% of your happiness is literally up to you, totally within your control. So I encourage people to stop chasing happiness and use that 40% within their control and start choosing it.
Okay, before we go further, and then let's tell people your website URL, and then we can come back and repeat it later.
Yeah, it's forgettheferrytale.net.
So that's easy, forgettheferrytale.net.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's really cool. And one of the things that I think that you're bringing out just in telling people about all the things on your website, how can authors build their website to be that intriguing, that engaging, that it says there's something more for you to get than just my book?
You know, I think that's really important. I think authors should focus on the benefits of the book to the reader. Like, why should someone read your book? And that's why, back to that title change for my book, it opened mine up to a much more universal topic, and that's happiness. Instead of just being, you know, who wants to read the story of Deb Miller's life? You know, like, that's not very interesting. I'm not a celebrity. But when you start putting it in with the framework of the Disney princess transformation, a lot of women can relate to that because we all came through the women's movement, and things like the pill and Title IX just changed our lives. And even if you're a much younger woman, you can, like my students who've read the book, they report that they look at it as historical, and they can learn about things their grandmother or their mom, you know, about their lives. And that's why it's being recommended at some university women's studies and gender studies departments for reading. So you just never know. Like one person wrote about my book on the cover that it's pure magic and that every woman should read this book. And I would say, like, every person should read it because there's life lessons there for everybody. It's really kind of a universal message.
What about, this is like, you've been talking a lot about nonfiction books, that at least that's kind of coming to me, memoirs and nonfiction books. What about someone who writes fiction? How can they bring their books into people's lives in an engaging way that's beyond the storyline?
Again, it'll be different for each, you know, book and author, but I think you need to find something that's bigger than just the core message. It's got to be something back to the, what is the benefit, what the WFM, the what's in it for me, WFIM. So what's in it for the reader? And it's got to be something that they can grab onto and that they can benefit from. And so that's why I'm trying to connect with readers on the happiness piece and on the women's transformation piece, because a lot of people can relate to that. So that's going to be different for each author. Find out what's relatable universally about your book for others and give them that benefit.
I want to ask you just, what's one small step that they can take? I know they can get to your website. I think they should. But let's see, what's one small step they can take that's just not overwhelming for someone who's just like not sure this is a way to go?
No, normally I get the question about what's one small step for a reader on the happiness part. So maybe I'll answer that first, then we'll circle back to authors. Like I tell them about some of the research there's been a Harvard study that came out last summer that people that report being happy over a lifetime have three things in common. They have a sense of purpose. They have some level of achievement of that purpose. And the third thing is that these people allow themselves small moments of joy each day, no matter how busy they are, which is why I put together that happiness reminders thing on my website. So it might be petting a dog or having some tea or whatever, just some small, smell the roses. And people that do that report being the happiest. So if we want to link that over to authors, they need to find joy somehow in the book marketing process. I'm in a cohort of other memoir authors, and each of us, now that we're by almost a year into having published our book, we've settled into what we're good at and what we like. So for me, it's doing the book events and interacting with readers and so forth, book clubs and libraries and a lot of big panels and speaking at big groups like Purdue alumni I'm doing this summer, etc. And then others don't like doing that. And they find they either like doing podcasts, or one is going around to, she's actually doing a lot of connecting with women's support groups, and she's giving her book away. She's gifting it away to women's shelters, and that makes her feel really good. So I think it's what gives you joy in general as an author, as a person, and then apply that to being an author. And I'd be happy if anybody stops by my table this summer at the book fair, and we can talk about their book in particular and make some specific recommendations, including you, Patty. So, and as you know, I'm sharing a table with Suzanne Perry. Kind of a fun fact, she's a historical fiction author with her second book just out in a trilogy. She and I were both college students at Purdue University at the same time, but we didn't know each other. And then we both had exciting adventures in Russia around the time when the Iron Curtain was lifted, when hardly any Americans were over there, but we were both there, but we didn't know each other. And then we both became moms and earned doctorates, and now we both live in the Pacific Northwest. She's in Portland, I'm in Seattle, and we both share the same publisher, which is how we met, finally, and we're going to share a table. So when people stop by our table, they will find giveaways, they will find advice on marketing, they will find multiple award-winning books and fascinating conversation. So I hope they'll stop by.
Oh, I hope they will too. And I will stop by, even though I'll be at my own table, have to take a break there. So anyway, we've got to cut it short. Too bad, too sad. But so I've been talking with Deb Miller. She's the author of Forget the Fairy Tale and Find Your Happiness. And you can meet Deb, like we've said, in person at the upcoming Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest, where she will be connecting with readers, sharing about her journey and her book. And it's a wonderful opportunity to discover new authors, hear their stories firsthand, and be part of our growing literary community. If today's conversation resonated with you, Deb's book is a powerful reminder that your story is yours to write, and that happily ever after can look very different than what we were taught. So thanks for listening to Northwest Book Talk. I'm Patty Grasher, and I'll see you at the fair.
A big thank you to our founding partners at Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing for their ongoing support of community radio. Morrell Inc. is a woman-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop that since 1993 has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative printing and marketing solutions. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff creates partnerships with their clients and uses the latest technologies to meet their needs. More information about which of Morrell Inc.'s products, printing, and marketing strategies will best serve your next project and budget can be found at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.